This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. It is 9.14 in the morning. You are joined by Jonah Hill, Brie Larson and Piers Brosnan. No, not really. It's Chuang Sharitz and Lynn Mark with you. Okay, time to look at some of the biggest news developments on the local newspapers. Now, QSR Brands, we know that this is a Johor Corp company. It used to be listed, then it was delisted some years ago. It owns and operates KFCs and Pizza Huts in the country. They've decided to postpone their planned IPO as opposed to, for example, Lyft or Uber in America. They've decided to postpone their IPO in Malaysia because key investors have deemed its valuation too high. People close to the transaction, as opposed to people who are not close to the transaction, told The Edge that Cornerstone investors were only willing to subscribe to the IPO if the shares were at a PE multiple of just 15 to 17 times versus the mid-20s currently.
Yes, so there's also been, Carex was rumoured to be a takeover target of Top Glove, but both parties have since dismissed that speculation. Now, yesterday, trading volume of Carex, which is a condom maker, surged to just under 65 million, making it the fifth most active counter.
Yeah, so also the high was at 3.09 in January 2006 when it was a foreign fund manager's favourite. Another news on AI. So G3 Global and China's unicorn SenseTime are exploring to set up the first artificial intelligence park in Malaysia to develop technological solution and talent. So investment of about $1 billion is going to be put in over the next 5 years. So a coup of G3 as SenseTime is the world's most valuable startup, valued at about $4.5 billion.
That's right. Just a quick note on Carex right now, because yesterday they had a huge spike in volume of over 60 million shares. That's way higher than the 200-day moving average. Mm. But today there's some profit-taking. They're down by 1 cent to 52 cents right now. 4.5 million shares traded so far, but it's only been 16 minutes of trading, so we've got the rest of the day to go. Okay, back to the broader market. Now, we have a look at why Malaysia has been the worst-performing market in the region. The KLCI is down 3% year-to-date, while other markets in Singapore and Thailand up by 8% and 6% respectively.
Yes, so year-to-date, Malaysia has recorded a foreign net portfolio outflow of $400 million. And BFM producer Wang Xiaoning speaks to Vincent Koo, head of research at UOB Kay Hian Malaysia. And he's also sharing his top stock picks and what sectors to avoid for 2019.
You know, if we look at the indices for on a year-to-date basis, right, I think we can see that Malaysia is the worst-performing market in ASEAN. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I mean, sadly enough, Malaysia has been a big underperformer. You can look at the foreign equity flows is still outflowing. And obviously, the reason has been the same since the GE14 aftermath. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of policies were implemented without regard to the impact on the capital markets. And of course, various market quarters have been observing that the policies implemented were a little bit too socialistic and at the expense of course, the capital markets.
Do you think that tone has changed, that the finance minister is more aware of how markets react to these announcements?
Yeah, I think the PH government, from what we can see, looking from the outside, we're guessing or we're getting some kind of a sense that there will be some improvement in policy clarity, as well as a change in objective, in the sense that we do expect more fiscal stimulus to be announced. You can see that through the recognition that some mega projects will be revived.
Yeah, you'd like the big infrastructure, like you mean the ECRL.
ECRL, yes.
And even the high-speed rail, right, that's possible.
Yes. So basically, it's a twin effect of fiscal stimulus gaining momentum without having a impact against the capital market. What I mean by that is apart from fiscal stimulus via mega projects, we also take the bet that the recent ongoing government acquisition of Gamuda's Highways will be done on a arm's length basis.
Okay, because that's important. You need to send out that this is not nationalization, right?
Yes, we definitely need to preserve the sentiment in the capital markets
And the sanctity of the rule of law, I think that's very important to foreign fund managers.
Definitely, that's crucial, right?
But when you go marketing, right, to foreign fund managers, what else do you think would cause them to relook at Malaysia? Is it also down to our rather lackluster corporate earnings? Because the last few quarters have disappointed again, right, in terms of earnings.
Okay, yeah. Beginning of the year, of course, the foreign investors were very cautious in Malaysia. Policy vagaries was one of the key issues, of course. But also at that point in time, you can recall the crude oil prices was quite low.
Yeah.
Now, crude oil prices have recovered a fair bit. The concerns on the country's fiscal standing is no longer a key issue. And with policies, if we're right, policies redress are on the way.
Mm.
I think that's going to also override any key concerns on the poor earnings momentum, meaning that if proper fiscal stimulus takes place, it will lift hopes that there will be some recovery in earnings momentum.
Mm.
And we do foresee in such a scenario for foreign investors to come back to Malaysia, not in a big way, but at least it's going to reverse the negative trends we're seeing year to date.
But unfortunately, investors are always on a relative basis, right? So I guess we are facing better corporate earnings in Thailand and Indonesia, which have more compelling domestic consumption stories, right? So how best to convince the foreign fund managers to reinvest in Malaysia?
I think the first and foremost is the fact that, Malaysia being a nice recipient of FDI diversions, that would be a fairly good support for the ringgit. So the starting point would be on the currency perspective, right?
Yeah, currency.
So if there's clarity to policies, there's clarity to the fiscal standing, then the ringgit should improve, and it should lead to a bit more momentum coming back to Malaysia. I can't say that for whether the ringgit will do better relative to other currencies, but the fact that Malaysia seems like a fairly low-hanging fruit right now.
Mm. And I guess as long as the currency isn't so volatile, that already is probably a positive.
Definitely so.
Okay. And in terms of like OPR, I think analysts are expecting a cut. Bank Negara's may do it in the next 6 months. Who will benefit from this OPR cut? Is it good for markets?
I think a general cut in OPR would be, loosely speaking, would be good for consumption, right?
Yes.
So in that sense, the consumer stocks will do a little bit better.
Mm.
OPR cuts are slightly negative for banks, but, overall market should respond positively. Mm. But that's more on a, mathematical basis, right? But the principle is that globally, we're already experiencing a more dovish sentiment.
Yes.
And that is good for global liquidity. We're just hoping that global liquidity will flow more prominently back to Malaysia.
So with all this, what is your overall call on Malaysia at this juncture?
Well, on an absolute basis, we expect Malaysian equities to recover. We did say in the first half, market outlook when we published in earlier this year that the market could come down to about 1600 to 1650, that level.
And we are here.
You're here now.
We're here now.
That rebounding and the clarity of that happening with our bets placed on so-called policy changes being made, that should start in the second quarter. So
okay.
We are in the second quarter now.
Okay.
And we do see the markets closing firmer at year-end.
So what are your sectoral recommendations or the themes that you think can play out in 2019 for the rest of the year?
Okay. The two themes that we are quite excited about, right? One is, of course, the trade diversion theme. Despite the easing U.S.-China trade tensions, we do feel, and we are still observing, some of the multinationals still relocating at least some of their production facilities out of China, and Malaysia is one of the beneficiaries.
Mm.
The other theme relates to the revival mega projects, and there have been actually beneficial for construction companies and building material companies. We do still see some flow through on this excitement.
even though like the construction stocks are up 40% year to date, they still have legs to go?
For some of those companies, yes. Not all.
Not all, right. Because I think Garuda and IGM are up 40%, but the smaller ones maybe not.
Some of the smaller ones have done quite well, like Gabung AQRS is one of our top picks.
Mm-hmm.
Done extremely well.
Mm. Would you consider some of the unloved stocks at the moment? I mean, like gaming is one, like Genting hasn't been having such a good time in the press recently.
Yeah, we do see a little bit of rebound for the Genting Group simply because we do expect eventually the in Malaysia at least, the theme park being reopened, or rather being opened.
Eventually.
Right now, of course, the status of the opening of the theme park has been made very big by the court case against Fox.
But what about in the manufacturing space? Because you mentioned that we are probably likely to be a beneficiary of this US-China trade war, right?
Yeah, so in the space which we are recommending, there are two segments, right? The more immediate segment that's going to benefit relates to the EMS.
EMS.
Electronic Manufacturing Services.
Okay, all right.
So the likes of companies like ATA as well as VS Industries are in our buy list.
Mm.
Second half, I would expect a bit more momentum pickup for the OSAT side, the semiconductor-related manufacturing.
Okay. So names like Globtronics, Inari, those names?
Or? Yes, those are the names.
Okay. And what are the sectors you would avoid, Vincent?
Okay, as we mentioned earlier on, we would still be a bit more cautious on perhaps some stocks that have moved ahead of themselves,
okay.
Even relating to the construction sector, even though the flow through of the excitement is not over yet.
Okay, it's news flow driven rather than earnings driven.
Correct, news flow driven rather than earnings driven.
Mm.
And bear in mind, right, for the construction sector, even with the revival of the mega projects, and as you mentioned earlier on, you know, sentiment will continue to improve. With expectation of HSR coming through for next year, there's plenty of activities we expect to be taking place from second half onwards.
Mm.
But despite that, don't forget that the margins
will be thinner.
For the construction side will, for mega projects will come down. It's a lot lower compared to the pre-election days.
That was our producer Wong Xiao Ning, who was talking to the head of research for UBK here in Malaysia, Vincent Koo. Nice, quite, you know, not ponderous, but wide-ranging discussion on a lot of things that are afflicting Malaysia. The two things that really struck out for me was really Vincent Koo's idea, it's the catalyst for Malaysia, that the trade diversification theme that Chinese companies are relocating to Malaysia for a cheaper, more diversified production base. And the resuscitation of high, you know, high value construction projects.
Yeah, it was interesting also that he mentioned that they expect the construction sector to improve, but he highlighted the fact that he expects margins to be thinner once they actually do come back on the table.
Yeah, because you're not paying so much anymore, la.
Yeah.
No more inflated numbers, la.
That's right. I mean, and also the ongoing U.S. and China trade war that's happening right now. And as you mentioned, I think there's going to be a lot of shift. We are one of the beneficiaries. Manufacturing is going to be shifting to our side. And also semiconductor. I mean, that's something to highlight as, you know, again, you know, comparing what's been happening outside.
Of course,
Malaysia.
The Globtronics, the Inari Amitrons of this world. And also the construction sector, right? It's up, 34% year to date. So really, it's a question for the larger, broader capital markets from an earnings perspective to see some margin expansion rather than the compression of recent times. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.